Welcome to today's New Life Live podcast. Today's podcast is brought to you by you. Your donations make this podcast possible. Please consider donating today using the New Life app, visit newlife.com, or call 1-800-NEW-LIFE. Welcome to New Life Live with host and founder of New Life Ministries, Stephen Arterburn. New Life Live is dedicated to transforming lives one at a time, thanks to the giving hearts of you, our listeners. Our goal is to provide you with wisdom from God's Word to give you hope and help in life's hardest places. If you have a question you'd like to ask today, our phone lines are open. Call 1-800-229-3000. That number again is 1-800-229-3000. Now here's Steve.
Hi there, welcome to New Life Live. Steve Arterburn here, and joining me are two giants in the world of Christian counseling, Dr. Jill Hubbard and Dr. Sherry Keffer. Hi, guys.
Hey, it's
great to
be with you.
Yes.
It is a new week, and this is the first day of Holy Week. And on this day, we're going to be talking about Holy Week all week. On this day of Holy Week, Jesus did a couple of things. He cursed a fig tree. And he cleared the temple. And finally, when he was asked by the leaders, the toxic leaders of the day, to show them a miraculous sign, he said, tear down this temple, I'll rebuild it in 3 days. And he was talking about he was going to die, be buried, and come back to life in the third day. You know, when he cursed a fig tree, you can find that in Matthew 21 and Mark 11, he was essentially talking about people being spiritually bankrupt, that if you have faith, there ought to be some fruit from it. You ought to be able to look at a person's life and see some results of it. You're not cruel, mean, unkind. You're doing things for others. And then the other thing that he did, you could find in Matthew 21, Mark 12, Luke 19, and John 2, he cleared the temple. And I think, you know, to get in touch with what it was like for him, have you ever been in an airport and had to buy a sandwich for $14.95? Well, it was that times 20. He goes to the temple, and they're selling a bird to sacrifice because they've come from a long way. They couldn't, you know, bring an animal sacrifice, so they would buy them there out of convenience. But rather than pay a buck for a bird, they're paying $100 for a bird to be sacrificed. They're ripping people off, and it's a big scam. And he says, this has nothing to do with me. And he overturns the tables and says, quit doing this. And in fact, you know, they were even making a point. You couldn't pay with the money from Rome. It had Caesar's picture on it. So you'd give them 10 cents, and they'd give you a penny's worth of temple money back. It was a mess. And it was all led by arrogant, religious, toxic leaders. And I want to tell you something. During this Holy Week time, I just am so grateful. There's so many great, authentic, real, dedicated Christian leaders that are trying to meet the needs of folks in any way they possibly can. And, you know, this is going to be a little bit different Easter this year. And, you know, I've got a challenge for all you grandparents out there. You know, you may not be able to be with your grandkids for an Easter egg hunt this year. I've got an idea for you. Why don't you get some eggs, hide them in your house, get on Facebook, and have the kids tell you where to go, right, left, straight, back, forward.
That's so great,
to find
Steve.
The eggs. And so they tell you where to go to find the eggs. Now, that's not perfect, but it's something, and it'll be so fun for them telling you where to go to look for those eggs. If it's at all possible, do something like that. The other thing is, send them some eggs that you have colored yourself.
Aww.
And maybe you can color eggs with them on Facebook. Send them to them. Have them hide them. And maybe... or their parents hide them, maybe you can tell them where to go to try to find the eggs. A lot of things we can do. But more than anything, this is a great time to shift our thinking in a world that has changed so much to what has not changed. And what has not changed is that Jesus is alive. He did rise up from the grave. He did that so we wouldn't have to pay a price for our sins. In the midst of difficulty, God is on His throne. He is not disconnected or disinterested. He's there for you. Ask Him to be present in your life today.
To find out more information about New Life or to order any of the resources mentioned on today's program, call 1-800-NEW-LIFE. Now back to New Life Live.
We are back. Steve Arterburn here, and really glad to be on with Dr. Jill Hubbard and Dr. Sherry Keffer. Now, I want to mention that a lot of stuff I look at shows that the statistics on pornography, a lot of people are, the porn sites are up, people are stressed, they're anxious, and maybe they're resorting to something that they haven't done in a while, or it's just more of the same. This is the time to call us about somebody that you know is struggling with sexual integrity, or it's you. You call us and let us help you. Every Man's Battle Workshop. In April, we're doing a one-day Every Man's Battle Workshop. And so it is very convenient. It is online. You won't have to travel. This is the time to do what you know you need to do. So call us at 1-800-NEW-LIFE, whether it's somebody you love or it's you. Get the help you need. 1-800-NEW-LIFE. All right, I want to talk to Faith from Dallas, Texas. She listens on a really great station, KWRD. Hey, Faith, how are you today?
Good. How are you?
Excellent. Thanks for holding on. You were holding on from a previous program, and we would love to hear what you have to say. What's going on?
What are we going to do to assist or to help the level of divorce, more especially in the church?
Uh-huh. Okay.
I'm a daughter of six. I'm a daughter of six girls.
You're a daughter of six girls. Okay. All right.
Yes, I'm one of the six girls of my siblings. We are six in the family.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, got it.
I'm one of them. And what we've gone through for almost how many years now, if not for the grace of God, all of my remaining five siblings, including me, we would have been dead. We would have been dead.
Why do you say that? Why would you have been dead?
Yes, I'm coming. That's why I want to just give you a little clue of what has been going on. Our father that brought us from Africa, that made my mom a teenage age, how many years ago? Almost 40 years ago. And this woman labored with him, suffered with him. In fact, he projects to us that he's a Christian. Everything we do, he will tell us is God. And my mom is like, we need to obey daddy. We cannot do anything. We cannot even tell anything that is happening, because we are Christians. But there's a lot that was going on, and mom felt, maybe he's going to change. Maybe he's going to change.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And the height of it came, instead of my father to change, my father decided to conspire with the people that are working for us. Him and my mom had a business they built when we came into America almost 20 years ago. Started from nothing, suffered, labored, went hungry. And because some of us came from, you know, started life again with him, some of my siblings were born here. So we knew what life was. We are
Faith,
part of what we went through.
Faith, I hate to interrupt you, but you ask a question about how do we minimize divorce. But then what I'm hearing is a tremendous amount of hurt and a lot of things that you've been through, traumatic things. And I'm just wondering what Jill and Sherry are thinking about how we could help you rather than just talk about conceptually about divorce. I really want to help you, Faith. Jill, what do you think here?
It's sounding like there hasn't been a lot of truth-telling in your family. that there's been more, you know, mom enabling and trying to hold up a traditional Christian family, but that's not what was happening. Dad hasn't been honorable. Am I hearing that right?
Okay, let me finish. Can you just give me some few seconds? Because you need to know where I'm coming from and what he eventually put us through as I'm talking
okay,
to you
right now. Okay, just try to really be brief so that we can give you some help, Faith, because we've got seven other phone calls that are holding on here. So how can you summarize it all up pretty quickly?
Okay, how I can summarize it is because the church we were attending, the church did not in any way help out. Even when my mom was crying out to them, they did not. They did not. Rather, they chose to listen to my father that was not even doing anything right.
The church didn't listen. What else do you want to share with us?
My question is, what can we do? How can we approach issues to avoid divorce? Because you've not even listened to the dark side of where we are now, which I know time may not permit you to listen. But I wanted to bring it from where we started from, kind of, you know, summarize it, what life came to be, and now tell you where we are right now.
Faith, let me share this with you first. I really believe that if you had folks in your life that you could share your pain and your struggle with, then you wouldn't need to go into all of the things you want to go into on a radio show where we're obviously limited for time. And so, and then if you've been hurt by the church, and if you judge all churches by that, then, you know, you're going to miss being able to find some women that could come alongside you and really help you. And if you've never, ever done any kind of work on this kind of horrible trauma where a man has been so deceptive and abusive, then that's something you can do that will help you more than just sharing the story. Because you really need to get... Go ahead, Joe.
Well, right, because you could get us to understand faith, but then what next, right? I mean, Steve is talking about... You need ongoing support in a community. And I hear your disappointment with the church, and that's heartbreaking. But there are organizations, you know, within churches. There are support groups, Bible studies, Celebrate Recovery, Life Recovery groups, where people meet repeatedly and they hold each other up and they help people walk through it. And you learn how to make decisions and how not to enable a person and how to advocate for yourself. And, you know, this isn't just about getting someone to hear so they can do something. This is about each of you doing something different instead of continuing the same family dynamic.
Yeah, that's what we want. Sherry, your thoughts?
I was going to say, you know, you opened the story of the fig tree that Jesus cursed. And if anything, Faith, Jesus validates your frustration, your hurt.
Yes.
Your dad was that barren fig tree. And actually, the church was barren as well.
Yep.
And Jesus doesn't tolerate that.
No.
But what we have to do, and you both admitted this, right? Shared it. We've got to do the grief work. We've got to let go of all of those wishes,
those
hopes,
wrongs,
dreams, longings, expectations, when we've been living under a barren fig tree for a long time. And I would suggest your grief workbook, Steve. I think that would be a really good place for her to start by just looking at what didn't happen.
Yeah, let me send you this. It's a grief workbook, and I'll send you a Life Recovery Bible with it. You do work these together, because here's the thing. God loves you, and if I were you, based on the experience of that man, your dad, experience of the church, you know, I'd have so much anger, bitterness, resentment toward church, authority, men. But you can do the work, and I'll tell you, there's a lot of comfort in a lot of churches for you and a lot of direction. And I'm just hold on, let me get this resource to you. And I'll send Take Your Life Back, too, because right there... right there can help you get back a life that could be a great life, a life of meaning and purpose. All right, let's go to Jackie. She's calling us Washington, D.C., WFIL. Hi, Jackie. How are you today? What's going on?
Hi. Good afternoon.
Hi.
I was calling because I've been holding on to a secret for many, many years. I'm married, and our son is 45 years old, and we were married. I was 15, he was 16, and it was because I got pregnant. And to make a long story short, it may not be his son, and I wasn't sure, and I had some doubts off and on through the years and wondering, but the gentleman, you know, when I was 15 that I was with, I guess around that same time he was conceived, called me, and I don't want to be, well, he called me, and he had been denying that, he had been denying that, oh God, how can I say this decently, that anything happened from him that would make baby.
That would make
like
it possible.
Right. Mm-hmm. Right. I guess
we get it.
Best word. And so I went with that, and every once in a while he would call off and on, you know, see how, you know, he's doing and everything. But right before Christmas, he called, excuse me, I'm a little nervous. He called and said that he had been lying all these years, and that did happen, and he was embarrassed to say it.
Okay.
So,
what's the question for us then? Given
what do I do? What do I do next? I don't know what to do. Do I say something to my husband? Do I have say something to my son to get tested? I don't know what to do. Do I? I don't. You know, of course, the first person I'm thinking about, or the two people thinking about mostly, is, you know, my son and my husband being hurt, you know? And I don't know what to do.
Okay. Tell me about your husband. How's he doing? And is he strong guy? And tell me about your son. How's he doing?
No.
And is he also emotionally?
No, not emotionally, both of them, no. Probably me either, but no, my husband, no, not strong. We were married young, and we both were in addictions and divorced and just back together 5 years ago. So, and then, like I said, in addiction, a lot of anger and blaming. You know, it's not perfect, but it's not terribly horrible. But, I don't think he would understand or forgive me.
Okay. Well, let's start with Sherry. Here we got
we've got
a 45-year-old son who has maybe a different biological father, and then we've got this husband who may have
Are you sober? Are you all sober?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes, both of us.
Okay.
Over 30 years, both of us.
Good for you.
Oh, good.
So that makes me feel a little better, because I'm sitting in your shoes with you, girl, and I can just hear the fear and intrepidation over having this conversation. But this is what you've got to weigh out, is holding the secret for the next 35 years of your life going to be less painful than risking the story that has just surfaced. Really, more surfaced at Christmas. I mean, for heaven's sake, you guys were 15 and 16 when all this happened. And, you know, there's a lot of compassion that you have on teenagers who don't make good choices, right? But this is a secret and it doesn't come forward, my concern is it's going to eat you alive. I mean, even in you telling us, your throat closed up, you kind of lost your breath, and that is all being held in your body right now. And so staging this, working with a counselor to support you through this, support both of you through this as you disclose, is going to be a necessary step should you choose to tell him the truth.
Okay, so we're going to talk about that choice and whether or not it's the right thing to do right after this. You're listening to New Life Live.
We'd love to hear from you. If you have a question or a comment, call toll-free 1-800-229-3000. Now back to New Life Live.
We're back, and we're talking with Jackie, and now she has it confirmed that, of course, that what she has believed happened has happened. And when we deal with stuff like this, Jackie, that's such a long time, you know, we want to look at what it's going to do to someone else. And I would just say this. It's important that you not just do this on your own, that you have help from a clinician that you would go to two or three times, and then you'd bring the husband in. And here's the thing. When we look at, well, is this going to cause more harm, I would certainly at least evaluate the timing of when I would tell him. Here we are all in the midst of this virus thing, and maybe it would be better to tell him in 60 days than to tell him in 6 days from now. But that's something to work out with your therapist there. Sherry, Jill, any other thing that you want to help her with? I know this has got to be so hard for
right.
you, and we want you to be free from the secret.
Absolutely. Like, we don't want this to cause any relapse in you, but we also don't want it just to be, okay, I've just got to, like, you know, vomit up this information, right, without really considering it. And that's why we want you to sit with someone and really talk through, and what would it be like to tell, and how would you tell, and what would it be like to not tell? And then, you know, looking at the relationship between your son and his dad. And when you share this, you know, you're really kind of bringing your husband into this kind of horrible news that really was just confirmed for you. Like, it's been a hunch, but there's not been anything really confirming this through the years, Jackie, for you. So it's like, okay, this is something new, and this is a family problem.
Yeah.
And how do we address that? And for you to know that the bonds that were created in you, you know, making your choice to marry and having your son and the relationship with the dad, that is so much stronger than any DNA.
Yeah.
Right? And this man never owned up to the possibility. He's not dad material. Right? This isn't about bringing him in and now them having a relationship. This
That's
is
right,
about the health issues down the road, perhaps, and needing to know the correct DNA.
And I don't want to be crass here, but a sperm donor is not necessarily a father.
No.
And that, we just don't want to confuse the two. And so I really think you need some discernment and wisdom here. But the other thing is, we want to be sure that you, well, now you've revealed the secret to us. To any of you that are living with a secret, you've got to find somebody to share everything with. I just hope and pray that at least one person would be walking through life with you that would know everything that you're going through, that you wouldn't have to have a secret you're bearing alone. I'm going to send her a copy of this of the Life Recovery Bible with the workbook through it, and it's going to help you go through a forgiveness process. And then forgiving our fathers and mothers really could be a great book for you, concepts in there that you might need to pass on to your 45-year-old son, so that, you know, you guys can maintain your relationship. But man, this is really, really tough, and I hope it inspires some other people to consider dealing with some truths that maybe you've never dealt with before. Sherry, do you have another comment you wanted to
share? Just one. I think sometimes the fear of telling the secret is sometimes it's worse than actually disclosing it. I mean, this is being held as a possibility right now.
Right.
He called me. He's giving me a confession. So to hold it as a confession, and then I just want to not keep another secret from you, that my conversation in Christmas, I want to be honest with you and and pull you in now. So she's coming forward and I think doing the right thing.
Very good. Let's go to Frank, Reading, Pennsylvania. WBYN is the station. Frank, how are you doing? What's going on in your life today?
Well, I could take a long time, but I know you don't have it. My son is 17 years old. He has mental health issues, depression, suicide attempts. He recently returned in November. He returned from a 9-month stay at a residential facility to get some help after suicide attempt, and also like stealing our family car. He was 15 at the time, and we woke up one morning and the car was gone and he was gone, and he picked up a girl that he had met at another mental health facility and picked her up, and they were gone for several days. And at that point, I was afraid for his life and just determined that he needed to be out of the home and get some real help.
Good.
So we've done a lot of family. We did a lot of family work, and we traveled across the state to take part.
So what's the situation now that we could help you with?
Yeah, so
I want to say way to go. Way to go, first off. You did a great job. The right things.
You sure
things.
Did.
Thank you.
What's going on now that you need help with?
Well, now he's home, and we thought he was doing okay, but we've discovered that he's back in. Now we caught him doing the same things that he was doing, smoking pot, connecting with girls randomly online, like with a hidden phone. That kind of thing. And so he's 17 years old. We confronted him on it and said, all that family work we did, and you're not being honest. And at this point, I'm feeling like really detached from him, feeling like he has made a decision to just do what he wants to do.
Yeah. Okay, hold on. We'll get to the heart of the issue right after this.
I was really living a very anxiety-filled life. I turned on New Life, and the topic that day was about anxiety. And just by listening, I got relief.
You can help New Life Live stay in the air by joining Club New Life today. When you sign up to support us monthly through Club New Life, we'll send you a set of 4 devotionals, 100 Days of Character, Peace, Prayer, and the newly released 100 Days of Healing. Plus, there are ongoing benefits like access to the Club New Life video library, the monthly Club New Life CD or download, quarterly resources, free shipping on purchased resources, and discounts on workshops.
I did go to Take Your Life Back. That's been immensely helpful to me. That's why I continue to support the ministry, with the hope that not only am I helping my own situation, that I'm helping others as well.
Support Club New Life, and together we can help hurting people find help and hope in life's hardest places. Call 1-800-639-5433 to join Club New Life today.
We're glad you joined us for New Life Live. To be a part of the program, call 1-800-229-3000. Now back to New Life Live.
We're back. We're talking with Frank. Frank's one of those courageous parents who's done whatever he could to help his son. Son's now back home and in the midst of relapse. Frank, tell us your biggest concern now with him back home.
He's destroying. He's destroying our family. I have an 11-year-old daughter that has watched, you know, and been fearful of what was going to happen to her brother. And my wife and I have stayed strong through all of this, but it puts a lot of pressure on us. And now he's 17, and we can't, like, we struggle with, like, if he were 18, I would have him out of my home, because he's not willing to get help. He's not willing to follow rules, and he's destroying our family. He's 17, so that's not really an option, and I don't know what to do with that.
Okay, so it is an option, maybe, that you could put him in some kind of youth academy or some other kind of residential home. You know, you can't
school.
Let him stay there and relapse, given all the problems he has, and then you end up, and one day you slip, you leave him a home alone with the 11-year-old, and then now she's been abused or hurt in some way. So what are your options Yeah, go ahead, Jill.
Sorry, Steve. I'm just wondering what follow-up care there has been after his nine-month stint. Have you contacted that facility? Are they helping you with a plan?
We have family-based services, and so we have two counselors that come to the home and meet with my wife and I and also with him individually and do family work. But he'll get together with him, but he's not really doing the things that we ask or that they would ask. The follow-up.
What are they saying to you needs to happen? What are they saying that needs to happen? What's their advice?
But this is what they should be saying. Mandatory drug testing. I would say, and I know this is not going to feel comfortable right now until you sort things out, Frank, but no internet. You guys need to remove the device that he is using right now to act out with. At least for the porn.
If I could.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, I know you guys don't have a lot of time for all this, but we stopped paying for his cell phone. I told him when we caught him doing the same things that he had been doing before, I said, that's child pornography. That puts my family in danger by you breaking the law in a phone that I provide for you. So I'm not paying for a cell phone for you anymore. You're going to be on your own. He's also type 1 diabetic, so he uses a smartphone to track his blood sugar, and we kind of feel trapped.
But there's other devices that can be used to track that. I would remove that device. They don't have that in inpatient residential.
I did remove that device. He purchased one on his own.
Okay, but he's living in your he's living in your home, right? In residential, what do they do? You have to check in your phones. Right now, if he's not behaving in a way that is reasonable, responsible, safe for you all, it is okay to say, if you are going to be here, you're a minor, but house rules. I'm sorry you bought this phone, but
he sounds pretty like he just goes around all of the rules. How long until he's 18, Frank?
Unfortunately, 51 weeks. 51 weeks exactly.
Okay, so you have almost a year. Okay, and you know, it's a privilege to live at home. Certainly at 18, it's a privilege to live at home. You cannot allow him to destroy your home, and so I think that another placement, while you can, seems warranted.
They have places in Utah and
there
some
are long-term,
other states.
Like boarding schools are, you know.
I would really be working with the therapists that are coming on. Go ahead. What are you saying?
Can he sign himself out of those facilities?
At 18.
Because that's been our experience.
So there's wilderness camps that they have for young men like him that are designed for a year-long program.
I would do this, Frank. I would simply say to the people coming to the home, you're here because you want to help us. Okay, so here's how you can help us. You can help us by helping us look into what are the options for him. Where could he go that is not with us anymore?
Mm-hmm.
So you're going to be here, you guys, 30 minutes right now. Well, I'd like to talk to you about options. Let's go online with you. Let's look at options. Because everything else, really, is kind of a waste of their time and your time. This kid has not responded to some of the best treatment available, some of the best options. So you have to continue down the path of restriction and treatment and not say, hey, we're giving up on you. We're going to let you do this and have all these excuses for everything. Don't let people come talk to you about your mental health and how you're doing and supporting you. You need options. Mm-hmm. And, you know, Teen Challenge is an option.
Yep.
And there are all sorts of academies that where, you know, a military academy, a boarding school, there are things that you can look into. And I know some people that have been really financially strapped that have found academies that will take their child and work with them. That's what they do. So,
right. What you tried previously, okay, it didn't take hold. Mm. So now you have to do something different. You have to go to the next level. And there, unfortunately, there are some people that have to go in and out of treatment over and over again. And certainly the substance abuse has to be addressed. Right?
Yeah. And here's the thing. The 11-year-old is your priority. That's your number one priority, is the 11-year-old. So I'm going to send you a couple of things. I'm going to send you Every Young Man's Battle. You give it to him. Won't hurt. I'm going to send you, Every Man's Bible, which will help you get into the Word. Take Your Life Back for all of you. I think that could help. And we're going to be putting our heads together to see if we can figure out something to suggest that might be a great option. But the 11-year-old daughter becomes your priority. She must be protected. Mm-hmm. You just don't want to be dealing with
because
with
he's making choices. You've offered him a lifeline, and he's not grabbing hold of it.
Yeah. Let's go to Al, Omaha, Nebraska. KCRO is the station. Al, how you doing, and how could we help you today?
I'm doing all right.
What's going on?
My story goes back some 25 years when my wife moved out and she had an affair, and I thought it was a small thing. And over the years, she wouldn't confess to who or what it was. And then finally, you know, it just ate over me for 20-some years. And I started having real bad chest pains, and I just decided that she was going to have to fess up. And in the process, she finally did, and I had a heart attack the next day.
My goodness.
And then, as the story came out, it was all just lies and fibs. And now it's been 2.5 years since then, and she changes her stories. She's still lying about certain things that I've pretty much proven to be true. And, you know, the forgiveness part, in the beginning, I forgave her and we moved on. What I thought was a small thing. Then it turns out it lasted 3.5 years while she was trying to get pregnant. And now I'm kind of wondering, you know, I guess my question is, I forgave her once. And now with all the lying and so she takes stories back that are too terrible that she doesn't want to, you know, have put on her. And it's the lying part now that I'm really having a problem with, you know.
Yeah, okay.
And I'm still with her after 2.5 years, so, you know, I'm trying.
Right.
But we go to counselors, and they say, we don't want to see her anymore, but we'll see you because they see us too.
All right. So I want you to hold on, Al. Yeah. Okay. What's the question for you, for us?
For me, it's forgiveness. You know, I know it's required to forgive or be, for, you know, or you're not forgiven. Mm-hmm. But, you know, the continuous lying, how can you continually forgive? If it's 70 times 7 times, right. I think I pretty much messed that number.
All right. Yeah, I want you to hold on because we can give you some help after we go to this break here. You're listening to New Life Live. If you need some help, 1-800-NEW-LIFE. We have an Every Man's Battle intensive coming up that we're going to do in a lot of different communities at less money than ever, and you won't have to fly, and you won't have to be with 80 guys. It's just not safe, but it's going to be a great event. That and other things like getting some help over the phone, 1-800-NEW-LIFE.
To find out more information about New Life or to order any of the resources mentioned on today's program, call 1-800-NEW-LIFE. Now back to New Life Live.
We're back. Steve Arterburn here with Dr. Jill Hubbard, Dr. Sherry Keffer. We're talking with Al. And Al, during the break, we talked about this situation where, you know, you've tried to forgive, but she's continuing to lie. And Sherry is going to tell you, if you were seeing Sherry, here's what she would do. Here's how she would help you deal with this. Sherry, go ahead.
Yeah, so first off, I'm sorry you felt dropped, right, by counselors that have said, I'll see you, but not her. And it's not their fault. It may just be that they don't know about this process. It's called a therapeutic full disclosure. I talk about it in my book, Intimate Deception, because Al, you're not alone. I did some research with 100 folks that have been betrayed, and I asked them, what's worse, the actual sex act that happened or the continued patterns of lies? Mm-hmm. 65% of them said it's the continued patterns of lies. And then I asked the same group the question, if the lies were to stop, how many of you would stay? And 88% of them said, I'd stay. And I get the feeling that you want to stay. But when you're focusing on forgiveness, how do you know what to forgive when the truth hasn't been unveiled? And she's still lying. She's afraid to come clean. And so a therapeutic full disclosure is done by folks that have been trained to do it. It's in my chapter, To Tell the Truth. And they walk you through this process so that she can come out of hiding. She's going to be afraid to come close, but there's a therapist that helps her do that. And then you work with someone as well, and the couple comes together in a truth-telling opportunity that it comes out. You come clean. And then the one who's been betrayed gets to decide what I want to do with what I've just heard.
And yes, it's out. It's scary. Yes, it's scary, but it's necessary.
It's necessary. 95% of the people, well, actually, people didn't want to do it. And then after they did it, 92 and 95% of the folks, husband and wife, said they're glad they did it. Because now it's done.
Right. Well, when most people tell their secrets, right, they feel that burden lift.
Yeah.
And when you hear it, then you don't have to imagine anymore.
Yep.
And the crazy making stops.
Yeah.
So even if it's something you don't want to hear, it's a relief,
it's
right,
a relief.
To know.
And what we're talking about in full disclosure, it isn't details about, what happened.
Yeah, every.
At any one incident. But it is talking about the timing and when things quit and some of the logistics of it, but not intimate details. You don't want that. But she has a right to know when was the last communication. I mean, he has a right to know when was the last communication,
right.
All those kinds of things. And then now there's a chance for some healing and reconciliation with honesty as the platform there. So,
Right.
Oh, my goodness.
Because we were also talking about, you can forgive something that's happened in the past, especially when you know about it, but when it's ongoing, it's hard to forgive something that's ongoing because you're still being hurt by it. And I would want to know, too, why is she so afraid? What is she afraid of in your relationship that she can't come clean?
Yeah.
Yeah. All right. I'm so glad you called. I'm going to send you...
Intimate deception.
Deception. And forgiving what you'll never forget. I think Dave's very realistic in that book about how do we forgive something that it just, it's always going to be there. It's always going to have a presence. Speaking of someone that's always going to be there, Larry Sonnenberg is always going to be here for us. Larry, let's talk about the ministry and how people can help.
Well, being Holy Week and being here, hearing your introduction about Jesus upsetting the clearing the temple, it just gave me pause to say, boy, I hope that Jesus never looks at New Life that way. And we take great steps to make sure that we're doing what we do properly with the money. And I want our staff to know that, our listeners to know that. We come and ask for support, but on the other end, we're being very careful how we spend it. We have suspended anything we can suspend right now that we don't have to spend because it's tough times. And we all know that. But, there's rent and there's payroll and there's health insurance and it goes on and on. And that's not why we don't want you to give so we can pay our bills. We want you to give so we can continue to bring this ministry to our country and around the world through the web. People listen. People, this radio program is an incredibly effective ministry that touches. Just think of the calls here. These were tough calls today.
I know.
And if we weren't here, there'd be fewer people getting help. And earlier call that was a live call earlier today, there were suicides discussed. And people hurt. We want to help that. And so we're changing things. We're talking about, we're figuring out how to do a virtual workshop. We've suspended people having to be a part of Club New Life to see the Club New Life videos. We have counselors that are going to do counseling on the phone and by video. And there's just a lot of things that we're doing. We're going to send 10 tips to people. We're going to send videos out to people. We want you folks to sense that you're being loved and cared for. And God works by surprises. God works in ways that we can't imagine. Just read your Bible. And there are stories and things that you can't believe. If that happened today, you'd be shaking your head and say, that can't be. But that's the way God works, and we expect He's going to take care of us. And we're going to come through this. You know, Psalm 23 says you walk through the valley of the shadow of death. You don't just go around it or up and over. You go through it.
Mm-hmm. Or you don't camp out there.
Right. Yeah, that's really important. So we want to do that with you, and we want you to do that with us. If you would join Club New Life, that would be a big deal.
$30 a month.
Yeah. $30. As we grow that, it means the monthly amount that comes from folks is bigger and better and helps us. If you can make a single gift, maybe you can't join Club New Life. Make a gift $5 or $10. Maybe you're in a spot where you can give more than that. Maybe you can give $100, $1,000, even more. But we just need your help. We want to survive this with you. We think God's hand is on the ministry, and we love what we do here. So thank you.
Appreciate everybody that is giving.
Thank you, yes.
If you can join Club New Life, I'll send you the Life Recovery Bible along with the Life Recovery Journal through all the seasons. And I'll send you 5 workbooks that'll take you through grieving and all these great things, brand new workbooks in addition to the general workbook. It's our way of saying thank you for being part of Club New Life. Gift of any amount, let me send, since the videos are all available to you, I'll kind of shift here and how about take your life back? I'll send that to you. Or if you need a Bible, restoration Bible, gift of any amount, we'll get that to you. Our way of saying thank you for helping us help other people in a very, very difficult time. Thank you, Larry.
Okay.
Well, as we wrap up this program, I want to remind everybody we are approaching Easter. It is Holy Week. And this is a great, wonderful time of year to use the time of year as an excuse to do some things that you've never done before. Given what we've been through and the fact that this is Holy Week, you could decide to pick up the phone and say to somebody, you know, with all that's going on, I've done some soul searching. And I realize that there's some things between us that I needed to repair. I want to ask you to forgive me for what I did. Or just to say, you know, I really feel like I wasn't fair with you. Or I've been a little bit hurtful with you. What a great time to make those kinds of repairs. It's also a time to maybe think of somebody you haven't connected with in a long time that could just use some encouragement and connection. Let somebody know that they matter to you. Let's honor the sacrifice that Jesus made on the cross by sacrificing a little bit of pride or a little bit of arrogance. And let's reach out. Call us at 1-800.
Thanks for listening. We hope this program has helped you by giving you insights for handling the challenges you face in your life. We want you to know that we're here for you, but you also need to know that New Life Live is a listener-supported ministry. To make your donation or to get any of the resources mentioned on today's program, call 1-800-NEW-LIFE. That's 1-800-639-5433, or write to us at New Life Ministries, P.O. Box 1029, Lake Forest, California, 92609. Please join us again tomorrow for New Life Live. Today's podcast can be downloaded through iTunes or streamed through your mobile device using the New Life app. Visit newlife.com to download the app today.